Well, this morning we're going to continue our Freedom Friday series. We're going to talk to Pastor Lynette Plambeck of the First United Methodist Church here in Atlantic. Most folks know her as pastor. At one time they knew her as, I guess, an Army soldier, a member of the United States Army. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I guess, were you really a soldier?
I was really a soldier.
It's hard to believe.
You know what? I went from the 1st Cav Division to the 1st Cavalry Division, so... Very much still a soldier, was a soldier. My uniform has changed.
In all these years, I had no idea you were a veteran.
I know it.
It doesn't come up in daily conversation, and I don't know why people are surprised maybe to hear that some folks had taken the time and made the dedication to serve in the service. But what got you there? When did you join?
I joined in 1989. I graduated from Morningside College and joined in 89 and served through 92. Attended the Defense Language Institute, was trained as a Russian linguist, was assigned to the 312th MI Battalion, ultimately at Fort Hood 1st Cavalry Division.
Mm-hmm. Why did you make that decision? You did it after college or at the tail end of your college career. Why did you make that decision?
I was working with veterans through the religious studies program. I had a double major in religious studies and political science, and my assignment was working with veterans that were in a hospice home. So there were five veterans living together from the Korean War and the Vietnam War experience, or conflicts, I guess we don't call them wars. And we spent time there, and I grew in relationship with those soldiers. And as they were kind enough to share their stories, it is humbling. It is extremely humbling to hear the stories of the other soldiers, and I knew I needed to give something. I already knew I was going to go into ministry, but at that time, it was as if there was a moral obligation. When you see and hear these stories of sacrifice, for some, you decide I can live into that as well, so I made the commitment of doing that.
Isn't it amazing, as human beings, we just assume that, you know, life is what we know. Mm-hmm. It's how we see it through the windshield that is our eyes. And that's all we know. And that's as big as the world gets. And then we hear these incredible stories of things we never even could imagine before. And it's amazing how much you realize how small your life is and how much bigger it could be.
Absolutely. I think I saw that with these soldiers who never served together in the military, but you could tell they were brothers, and they were men, so I'll use that term. There was a brotherhood that connected them. And one of the soldiers had been diagnosed with cancer. They think it was linked to Agent Orange. And as he was dying, I watched how the other soldiers surrounded him. It was a different battlefield. But it was necessary for them to be alongside their brother at that time. And as he passed from this life to the next, and he was the soldier that put the flag out every day and brought it in every night, I watched the other soldiers step into that role to assume his duty. Mm-hmm. But as he passed from this life to the next, we were by his bed, and the song Leaving on the Jet Plane was playing while they were singing it, and it was an important song to him from his own military experience. And it was a holy connection. It was not, it was not a church hospice home, but it was a holy connection. And in that moment, I knew my next step was going to be military service before I went to seminary.
Is there a military history in your family?
I have a grandfather who served during World War II, mm-hmm. and he was part of the African movement, and then also my uncle served at Fort Huachuca in military intelligence for a couple of years.
So a little history.
A little history.
What was the reaction from your family when you came home and said, guess what? Guess what I'm going to do next?
Why would you go to college and then do something like this? Or we know you're going to be a pastor. What's going on here? But I'll tell you, when that sticker came that said my daughter serves in the U.S. Army, it was on that door. You know, it was on the door the day I left. When the day I got home, they peeled it off the door too, but they were supportive the entire time. I'm very proud, I think, of the decision I made, and very supportive throughout that service.
You know, we see a lot in some people these days that they take advantage of the military option to help pay for college and mm-hmm. things. Well, you'd already kind of gotten through that. You've finished your college career. Do you kind of sometimes feel like maybe you got it in the wrong order? You're getting in with people who are maybe a little bit younger than you are, and it's a little different atmosphere?
Well, I did use the GI Bill when I went to seminary, so I was able to benefit from that. And I was able to attend the Defense Language Institute after college, 52 weeks of a Russian language program. And while I don't use it a lot in Atlantic, it it's a gift to learn another language, another culture, and it enhanced not only my college experience, but I think it enhanced my vocational experience. I remember the first time where I had that moment of, oh, this is why. This is why you were a soldier before you went to seminary. I was serving a rural congregation, and there was a gentleman from World War II who was a POW in the Philippines, and he had never shared his story with anybody. And because I came from both directions, I was a soldier and I was a pastor, it gave him that sacred space to tell his story of what it was like to be imprisoned. And it was the first time he'd ever shared that.
Pretty humbling, wasn't it?
It was very humbling. And those are the moments where you're like, oh, so this is why, this is part of God's plan for my life.
Yeah, you know you're in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
What was it like for you to get through? I guess, I asked that question earlier, and I'm thinking, well, I guess these days in college, there's really not a traditional student anymore. They come in all different sizes and shapes, so why should there be a traditional soldier entering the service, too?
Right.
But what was it like for you when you got there?
When I got there, it was shock and awe, to steal from President Bush. You had people telling you what to do. You no longer were on your schedule. Every right that you knew, every privilege that you knew, it was taken away from you. And I was at a place in my own intellectual development that I understood. So they take all that away from you, and you realize everything they're taking away from the soldiers are fighting for everybody else, right? So we did eight weeks of basic training then. You go through rifle training. I remember our first 25-mile ruck march, and in encouraging other soldiers that, yes, you can make it up this hill. They're not asking us to do too much. But it is a surreal experience, and there's a lot of days where you think, I got here by choice. What was going through my mind? And there were even more days as you grew in your relationships with the fellow soldiers and heard their stories where every day was worth it for me.
And largely while you're in college and high school, it's a peaceful time for the most part for the United States military. Not so much when you got there.
No, when I got there, I served 89 to 92. So if you remember Desert Storm, Desert Shield, I was part of the 1st Cavalry Division at Fort Hood, Texas. 1st Cav is always the first deployed, the last to come home. So our unit was deployed to Desert Storm as well as Desert Shield. Because I was a Russian linguist, I was able to come back earlier because they made space for an Arabic linguist. But it was, when you load up what you're taking with you, and they're playing Lee Greenwood in the back, the background, and you get on this big plane, and you hear Ozzy Osbourne singing "Mama, I'm Coming Home," but you know you're going over, you're afraid because you don't know if you're coming home, you don't know what you're going into, and you know that you are there to be alongside the soldier next to you. And that soldier next to you is there to be alongside of you, and nothing matters more than that.
It's a realization that even though through all the training they try to take the human out of you and make you kind of a machine, you're still a human.
Still very much a human, yeah. They build us around a mission, much like any organization builds around a mission, and they build you around relationship. They in fact, even as you go through the training, they want you to be able to do the training or what's demanded of you in a method, in that sort of manner. But they know the stronger the relationship you have with your fellow soldiers, the better soldier you're going to be. And so while they develop your skill set, they also develop that relationship.
Did you develop some great friendships this way?
I did. Lifelong friendships. Love Facebook because you're able to reconnect with all those folks. I remember when I became the driver for our command sergeant major, he was from Kansas. So he's at formation with all four of our companies were there, and he asked everybody from Kansas to take a step forward. He checked them all out. Then he told them to step back, and then invited everybody from Iowa to step forward. And he was checking out our uniforms and how shiny our boots were. And he got to me and he said, Pollock? I said, yes, Sergeant Major, you're my driver. You're my driver now. And his wife was from Iowa. And so you're drawn into this relationship where you're with your fellow soldiers. I was enlisted intentionally. So you're with your fellow soldiers, and then you're also with the battalion soldiers. It is you learn that as you soldier well, all levels are going to take care of you and cover your back.
Pretty interesting experience. A quick growing up time for
very
a young
much
person.
So. Particularly if you grow up in Western Iowa in an upper middle class family, you're insulated your entire life. I grew up in Denison. The folks in Crawford County knew my family. I went to Morningside College, great college, but also you're very much protected. Mm-hmm. When you go into the Army, they don't care what your name is. They don't care where you're from. They don't care whether you've been to college or not been to college. What they care about is what you're willing to give and how committed you are and how faithful you are. And you, it's all about who you are. And it doesn't matter who mom and dad are. It doesn't matter that you had an uncle or a grandfather in the military, but it is up to you. And that was, you mature quickly with that.
Sure. When you take a look back, I'm sure when you're there, mm-hmm. there are always going to be days you think, why did I do this?
Mm-hmm.
But when you take a look back at the time spent as a whole, good experience?
Absolutely. I would not trade that time for the world. You might trade in the military process of doing things, but the relationships and the awareness that for that point of time in your life, what you were doing mattered in the lives of others, even if they never knew it, right? That there will be people in Cass County, Iowa, that have no idea that the pastor from the Methodist Church, right, was in the military. But for a portion of my life, I was there, and I know that my service made a difference in this world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I can tell just by listening to you and the way you speak about it so enthusiastically, too, I'm sure you would have been a different minister had you not had that experience.
Absolutely. With working with World War II veterans and hearing their stories, sometimes stories of conflict, stories of death, that sort of environment, hand-to-hand combat, prisoner of war stories being brought into that, but also the Red Bull, which is the guard unit in our area, we've had way too many Iowa soldiers deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq. Particularly if you compare it to the other states. Iowa soldiers are deployed way more, and we have developed a system of support, a ministry in which we work alongside the soldiers from the Red Bull as well as mental health agencies, because our soldiers are coming back with PTSD, having a hard time reassimilating with their families or in community, knowing themselves again, and to be able to walk alongside these soldiers where they know that you get it. So, that military service from 89 to 92 enables me to be a better pastor in 2014.
Very good. Well, I'm sure a lot of people appreciate that, too. And we appreciate your service.
Thank you
for coming in and sharing some of your experiences with us. And again, we salute you for all that you've done for us, too.
Well, thank you for inviting me in.